Blog Talk Radio.
Talk with a friend one day. He was on the corner and he couldn't show his face. He was hiding from the police and his own gang. The only choice he had was to die or to go to jail. With tears in his eyes, he said, I have failed. I did wrong and now the price I have to pay. Can't sleep, I can't eat, don't know what to say. Feel like my life is going straight down the drain. I feel for my children, I wasn't there for them, the only thing I gave was pain. I feel so ashamed, don't know what to do, where to go, or who to talk to. So I'm asking you to pray. I know I'm nowhere with Jesus, but I still believe in His name. Jesus came yesterday, today, and forevermore. Jesus, I know that you can hear me. One early Saturday morning, saw a girl I used to know. So I stop and say good morning. I said, girl, what's up? Been a while, how are you? She said, things are not good. Sometimes I feel confused. I know you're not seeing me at church like I used to. I messed around and got AIDS and even got abused. Sometimes I feel like God don't love me anymore. Sometimes I wonder if I really have hope.
Honestly,
I feel like hanging myself with a rope. My faith is weak and my life is moving slow. So I said, there's hope in the name of Jesus. I said, there's hope in the name of Jesus.
Jesus,
I know that you can hear me.
My name is Pastor Stephen Lee, and I'll be your host for the next hour or so. And we'll get into part three of living in the promise. So if you would just join your hearts with me in a word of prayer, and we'll get right into the word for today. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place, in this time, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace as we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For you've made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirits and birth victory in our heart and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Well, we want to kind of go back and deal with the living in the promise. God has always made an invitation for us to live inside his promise, where his love can provide, his joy can strengthen, his word can prevail, his grace can empower, and his peace can rule. This has been the plan of God from the Garden of Eden until now, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This allows us to see his patience, because he is the same consistently, constantly the same. And he's no respecter of persons, and he's made an invitation to Adam, so then that same invitation is offered to us. He wants us to live inside the promise. He wants us to live there each and every day. And since the offer has been made, it would just simply be wise for us to like take him up on the offer, to begin to find out what is he offering us. You know, what is the promise of God? And we see that very clearly in Genesis chapter 2. And God brought some things out that we'll just review. It delineates how everything came to be. And then in verse 10, it states these truths, that a river went out to water the garden. From thence it was parted and became four heads. The name of the first was Pison, that which is compasseth the whole land of Havilah, and where there was gold, and that gold in that land is good, and Bedelim, and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is that which compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hedekel, and that is which goes towards the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And I mean, it's just so rich in there that I found out, I had looked at this morning, and it said in verse 10 that a river went out of Eden to water the garden. In my thinking, if a river is going to water the garden, it would have had to come into Eden. But God said there was a river that came out of Eden. And the names of those rivers mean this. Pison is a dispersing increase. That's what it means. Gihon is a bursting forth. Hedekel is a rapid flow. And Euphrates is abundance, fruitfulness. And this happens to be the largest river in this area. So when you look at this, he said there was a river that went out. And on the way out of the place where he put the man, there he was dispersing the increase. He had a bursting forth, a rapid flow, and abundant fruitfulness. I think that's just interesting. I mean, the man had so much given to him by God in the place where God set him that it was a dispersing increase. See, this is the way God thinks. When he introduced himself to Abraham, he told Abraham this, I will bless you and thou shalt be a blessing. See, he's trying to get us to tap into this flow, to get us to live in the promise. when you learn how to live in the promise, it takes care of your needs and everyone that God would send to you. Because the way he told Abraham, he says that in you, all of the nations of the earth will be blessed. I mean, God has things on his mind we don't even fathom. We over here trying to pray for iPhone and no more, and God has invited us into the place where we can be blessed and be a blessing, that we would be able to give to seven, yea, even to eight. See, we are the one that causes the stirring, okay? Let's do it that way. He wants us to be the one that causes the stirring of the flow. Amen. See, the man that's blessed, Psalm 1 says, that he's planted. He stands in a place where the rivers come together. I love the understanding of rivers coming together. Whenever you have rivers coming together, it would generate a flood, wouldn't it? And the flood that it generates will change the landscape. I mean, all the time when you see a flood, the next thing you're going to know and understand is that the landscape that was there is no longer the same. I visited a place in North Carolina after Hurricane Hugo came. And, you know, he told us how to drive there, gave us instructions. And so I'm driving, and I went right to the place and met the man. And I was saying to the man that, oh, this was good instructions. He brought me right here. And the man said, I'm glad you're here, but you're not in the city. You're not in downtown anymore. I said, what you mean? He said, where you are parked, he said, this was the busy part of the city. And all I could see for miles and miles was sand and beach because the landscape had been completely changed. Buildings that were there were no longer there. As I was driving in the outskirts of town, there was a Holiday Inn that was there. And in the parking lot of the Holiday Inn was the top four floors of the building sitting in the parking lot. Because the storm and the flood that came in altered the landscape. Well, God wants to do that in your life because he placed the man in the place where there was a dispersing increase, where there was a bursting forth, a rapid flow, an abundant fruitfulness that went out of Eden that would water the garden. I mean, you've got to remember that the man was created to live in an experience that was a sweatless existence. Okay? I just want you to begin to think about that. That's the way God wants you to live your life. Jesus invites us back into this place where he said, come unto me, take my yoke upon you, learn of me, and then you will find rest unto your souls. You'll get back to the place where God's original intent can be seen, understood, and lived out. See, this is what I'm trying to, in the midst of a COVID life, I'm trying to get you back to the place where God's provision for you takes you to an exceeding abundant fruitfulness. See, and I'm not just talking about having stuff. I'm talking about stuff being able to flow out of your life. See, we are the answer that the world needs to see the love of God flow through. We are the one that disperse the goodness of God. It's resident on the inside of us. Those that know their God will be strong. They will do exploits. That's why you saw Peter when he was walking down the street. The Bible says that people came to Peter so that healing would happen in their lives. It never said one time that Peter prayed for anybody in that exchange. It said Peter was walking down the street, and they came so that they could be healed if his shadow passed over them. See, that's flowing out of. See, that's not trying to work up. You know, it's really bad thing that we kind of allowed our heart to grasp is that we have to work up the anointing. We have to go fast and pray. No, we have to live the word, and as we live the word, we become an agent of dispensing the grace of God. That's what Jesus did. He simply dispensed the grace of God. You can see that in John chapter 1. It says that he was full of grace and truth, and of his fullness have we all received grace for grace. Okay, just so that you get hear this, it didn't say that you received grace for prayers. Okay, it said of his fullness have we all received grace for grace. Amen. Just trying to frame it up for you. Notice this was not just grace for your mistakes. This was grace because grace was present. Grace for grace. See, sometimes we think that we have to convince God to bless us. I mean, that's sometimes I've heard people pray that, you know, and I know they don't mean anything wrong by it. It's just we have to wash our mind with the word of God so that it can become renewed. We don't have to beg God. It's his good pleasure to give you the whole kingdom. It's his good pleasure. See? He said he will not withhold any good thing from those that walk uprightly. It's the Lord. Blessed be the Lord that daily loads us down with benefits. He's not trying to ferret out a blessing that's just barely enough. That doesn't meet his name. One of the names that we know him to be is El Shaddai. That's the God that is more than enough. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can dare ask or think, according to the power that works in you. See, he's invited you into with the ability to live in the promise so that the promise can then be seen. Are we not supposed to be witnesses? Amen. Okay, let's try this. Just as I say the word, we're supposed to be witnesses. That means that in order to be a witness, you must first be a partaker of the fruit. Isn't that what he said? In order to give it out, when you are on an airplane and it becomes an emergency, they tell you this. They say, put the mask on your face so that you can then put the mask on other people's face, on the child's face. Why? Because if you don't partake, you cannot help. I mean, do you see how that it has to be? That's a simple way for you to see it. See, the laborer must first be a partaker of the fruit. It's got to be good to you so that when you offer it, you offering it with confidence. You have partook of the hope, so now you can offer hope. Otherwise, all you offering people is supposition. And people don't want to, and people can't live off of supposition, but they can live off of hope. Because faith is the evidence of things hoped for, and the just live by faith. So you can live off of hope, but we cannot live off of supposition. I reckon it could be this way. See, that's what has happened. People have not walked it out so that it becomes a bridge from where hurt and pain exist, darkness and doom exist, to the place where light and love can flow. We are that bridge. I beseech you, brethren, as ambassadors, come on. I want you to be ambassadors. You were called to be an example so that people can know of a certainty that God is good. See, that's the way we're supposed to walk this thing up. Right? It's not a guessing game. Again, they that know their God, those are the ones that will be strong. Those are the ones that would do exploits. We're coming into situations that the grace of God is the only thing that's going to be able to cause things to turn around. It's not going to be because we're connected. I mean, I don't know if you are looking at what I'm looking at. I mean, these systems that are that have been in place are imploding right in front of our eyes. There are things, institutions that were long established that have closed down. So then when all of the norm ceases to exist, what are you going to trust in then? What are you going to put your confidence in then? I mean, we've experienced in our lifetime, we've experienced the failure of a stock market. I mean, completely didn't work. People were killing this, jumping out of buildings because systems that were supposed to make it easy didn't work. That's why God is inviting you to live in the promise, because his promise does not fail. See, he watches over his word to perform it. And he that keeps Israel, he does not sleep or slumber. There's not one jot or tittle. There's not a comma or a period that's going to fall in before it is fulfilled by the Spirit of God in our life. It cannot happen. See? It says heaven and earth would fail first before one word fails from the Word of God. I mean, it would be all right or understood if the earth didn't make it and did not function. He said heaven and earth. I mean, y'all, if you can understand that, that means that there is no hope absolutely. If the place that supplies your air and the place that contains your air is gone, I believe that's it for you. Because last time I checked, nobody has been able to manufacture a breath. Oh, they have oxygen. I can understand that. Yeah, man has come up with formulas that help you make, but you can't make a breath. Because it's going to take a machine, a system, to make that man-made oxygen. But God set the earth in place so that the plants will release oxygen and they will breathe CO2, which is what you breathe out. It's already in place. But he said heaven and earth would pass away first. See, that's the confidence that he has placed in his word for our lives. He wants us to live in a place where his love provides, where joy can strengthen, his word can prevail, where his grace can empower, and his peace can rule. Just living in the promise. I'm finding that it's not really a good thing to just visit a promise. He wants me to abide there. See? He wants that to be my address, if you will. The reason why he wants it to be my address is because the promise is also his address. That's where he lives. Glory to God. See? And he's inviting us into the place where he abides. When he made man, you can see that in Genesis chapter 1 and 1-3. When he made man and gave the garden to the man, you could see that he was with the man, because it says the man and God walked together, talked. The voice of the Lord would talk to the man in the cool of the evening. So his presence was here. That's what causes what he created to be able to be maintained. Without his presence, there is going to be the cessation of life. It will come to an end. And even when he told Adam that, I mean, that's just so mind-blowing to me. He told Adam that in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And the oldest man that is recorded that ever lived on the earth was 969 years old. That was Methuselah, within the day, because a day is 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is one day. And no one that was made and born of, that came out of Adam, born of a woman, nobody has lived a day. 969 is the closest they got. Three quarters of the day. They live to the evening time, I guess. See? God's promise is so sure that he doesn't even have to, because he lives outside of time, he doesn't have to do things in the construct that we think it's going to be. He just knows that it will not return void. He's working to bring to pass what he said. And he wants us to live in that promise. So the spiritual connotations that we can get out of this river that came out, that went out of Eden to Garden of Water, we can understand this premise that he gave me was out of the one comes the flow. Because of the one are the many. Okay? That's the way he wants it to go. Because of the one comes out of the flow. And everything, that's why we call God the Father of life. Because out of the one comes the flow. Everything that exists comes out of the one. Okay? And so then, as it comes out of the one, then what, if we want to enjoy the life that comes out of the one, in my mind, that means I should be able to be in close proximity where I should be close to the spout where the glory comes out. I should be connected to the Father. Because as I'm connected to the Father, out of the one comes the flow. See, all of my supply comes out of him. Everything else, this is what we should get to understand. God is my source. Everything else is a resource, a source to the second power, if you would. Okay? I need to be connected to the source because that's the way he wants me to live. I'm supposed to live by his spirit. See? He did not intend man to live by the sweat. After the curse, after sin, then God told the man, now there's a different shift in the way things are going to happen. You're going to now live by the sweat of your brow. I mean, before that, the man never sweated. I mean, so many things that you can see about that in the scripture. Because God told the children of Israel, all of the priests, they would wear linen clothes. Why? Because the linen clothes would absorb the sweat so that when you're in his presence, you will not be sweating. Amen. He didn't want that for his man. And we've got to get back to the place where the life that God originally intended for us, that we get to enjoy. We want to live in the promise. I mean, this is his invitation. This was not me just thinking that was a good idea. This was his invitation. And because he made the invitation to one, he made the same invitation to all. Okay, he's no respecter of persons. So then, if you just stop and think about everything that was available for Adam, Jesus came and redeemed you from the curse and brought all of those same resources into your life so that you could be connected to the source. I mean, that's what Jesus did. He said that he restored us to the place of prominence in God's heart and in God's planet. Amen. Because the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. He wants us to enjoy this thing. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 8 that the whole earth, the whole creation is groaning and waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. It's warning us to wake up so that we can go back to the way it was. That we will be able to declare and decree a thing, and that's what will be established. Because there's no disconnect between God and us. We say, and it is. Because he's given us the ability to do that. We were made in his image, after his likeness. We are a speaking spirit, just like God is a spirit. God said, let there be, and there was. And we are a speaking spirit made in his image after his likeness. That's why we got to learn how to think so that we can learn how to speak correctly. Okay? Because your words give way to the life that you're now living. Whatever you have in your life right now is because of what you believed in your heart and said with your mouth. Can't help it. That's the way it works. He set it up that way. Whatsoever you bind is bound. Whatever you loose is loose. See? Out of your heart flows the issues of life. God set it up. That's why I really get kind of, I get kind of miffed at some of the things that we've allowed our thinking to gravitate towards, because we keep thinking that God is limited. He's able to deliver by many or by few. He knows no limits or no restraints. It says in Psalms 78, it says they limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited him. He's not limited. They thought that God was in a box, and they would not allow him to get out of that box, so everything had to come into their life based on the box of their understanding, the limits of their understanding. You do remember in Genesis chapter 11, when they decided that they were going to build a tower, the Tower of Babel, up to heaven, and because they were united in that, this is what God said. He said, the people is one. Therefore, nothing that they imagine will be restrained from them. Glory to God. He says, if they operate in unity, there is no stopping what they're thinking. They'll be here in the morning because unity is going to cause them to get there. He said, nothing that they can imagine will be restrained from them. Come on, y'all know, y'all just turn over there. Genesis chapter 11. Let's just look at it so you can see it. I just quote scripture. That's basically, I don't have anything else. Okay? This was after the flood, after the God made another visitation to man to try to give man another shot. He's been doing it over and over and over. He wants us to live in this promise, y'all. Read start at verse 1, and it says, the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass that as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Sinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, let us go make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime for mortar. And they said, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make a name, lest we be scattered upon the face of the whole earth. And this is God's response. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men had builded. And the Lord said, behold, look into this. That's what behold means. The people is one. And they have one language. And this that they began to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them that they have imagined to do. It says nothing will be restrained from them. See, God did not make you to be limited. He wants you to function in unity. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. For there the blessing is a commanded blessing. And the commanded blessing that there is, go get them. Hallelujah. Go do whatever's in your heart to do, do. See? But what the enemy has done is come and messed up the heart so that we don't have one language. We have what is known as division. Two visions, division. Die vision. That's what it means. The word, the Greek word die means more than one. Die vision. It says that the people is one. They have one language. And because of that, nothing that they imagine will be restrained from them. See, that becomes the flow, because out of the one come the many. Out of the one comes the flow. Because of the one are the many. Because of the one is the flow. Because of the one is the multiplication of the one. That's the many. There is not multiple children of God. God does not have stepchildren. God does not have grandchildren. God has children. Oh, that's a good one. First time I heard that, it like took me back. Amen. To those that believe, he gave them power to become sons. Did not say he gave them the power to become grandsons. He doesn't have grandchildren. He has children. All of these delineations that we stipulate, they came from us. They didn't come from God. So then we need to stop allowing them to rule in our minds and in our lives. Find the place of unity, and you'll go back to the place of flow. Out of Eden flowed a river. Okay? God is connected to unity. He wants that to be the place where we function out of. Turn to Psalms 46. Again, we're just talking about this unity. See, because God is the source that makes him the sustainer. Because that which came from the element is of the Father. That which started the whole process. A father is not a father because of creation alone. We've got men that have fathered children and are not in their lives, so that didn't make him a father because of the child being there, because of the creation. In order to be a father, you have to be the sustainer, the provider, the protector, the comforter, the counsel, because all of those in the Father. See? Psalms 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help. You might need to underline, circle, very present help. Very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be moved and carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Listen at him. There is a river. So he's taking us back in our understanding. He's taking us back to what was created, how it started, because out of the one comes the flow. Because of the one are the many. There is a river, and the streams of the one make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Why? Because out of the one comes the flow. See? So he's bringing us back to an understanding of the unity that's necessary here. If you want to live in the promise, then you're going to have to live in unity. You're going to have to live in the peace that comes out of unity. He said, all that's within you, live peaceable with all men. See, we're on the eve of an election, and this election has divided the country. And we think that it's a Democratic and a Republican Party problem. No, it's a demonic problem. Because all that the devil has done is effectively cause separation in heart and position of thought. That's all he's done. And now one is going to blame the other and excuse the other. When, unfortunately, this is just the way it is, y'all, please get this. When God comes back for us, he's not coming back for a divided church. He's coming back for a church that does not have spots, that does not have wrinkles, that does not have blemish or any such thing. So if I'm over here blaming you and you over there blaming me, sounds like to me that is spot, that is blemish, that is some other thing. So with that in our heart, there is no coming back. He's not coming back till we look like him. He's not coming back because we look like them. Oh, you might want to write that one down. He's coming back when we look like him. That is singular. He's not coming back because we look like them. They that compare themselves among themselves or by themselves is not wise. That's a them thought process. We have to get to the place where it's about him. In him we move. In him we live. In him we have our being. I don't know how we got to the them when he said it's about the him. Okay? Endeavor to keep the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. Work on that. And the way that you would work on that, just so we can throw this out, since I'm here, the way you would work on that is that you would be quick to forgive if you have aught against any. You would be quick to operate in love because love covers a multitude of sin. Didn't say love covers sin. It said love covers a multitude of it. Glory to God. See? Love does not take an account of a... See, there is no division there. This is how they will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one unto another. How can you say you love God who you've not seen and you don't love your brother who you're looking at every day? I mean, y'all, help me, y'all. See? We have allowed the enemy to divide us, and we think that is life. No, that's not life. Life came out of the one. Because of the one comes the flow. Out of the one comes the flow. Because of the one are the many. If you don't protect, okay, come on, y'all, let's look at it. Here it is. If you don't protect the one, all you're going to be stuck with is the many trying to find a way to a one. Not out of the one, because of the one. Don't turn it around. Let's leave it the way it was quoted to me. Out of the one comes the flow. Because of the one are the many. But if I'm going to try to live with the many, I've thrown away the one. And the one is what supplies the many. So here we are agreeing with people that don't agree with God. I don't know how we can do that. Come on, y'all. Oh, Lord. You're going to go and say, well, this party allows me to get my food stamps and my welfare check, and they helping me. That same party is saying I'm going to kill babies. That same party is saying that it's okay to have same-sex marriage. That's not God's word of the one. Comes the flow. Anything that's not coming out of the one is not a flow. It's just a mess. I can't live off of that. That's not sustainable. See? But we're going to say, well, because I like this. It's not about what you like. It says, for his pleasure we were created. It did not say for your pleasure we were created. It says for his pleasure we were created. It has to be a different mindset. So that if you have allowed your understanding to be darkened, I love the way that phrase says. It says that they allowed their understanding to be darkened. They have, having the understanding darkened. Okay, that to me sounds like a choice. Instead of walking in the light as you are the light of the earth, walking in that light. We've chosen to walk in darkness And you know that if you try to walk in darkness, the Bible says you're going to stumble. And not only are you going to stumble, you won't even know why you're stumbling. Glory to God. So there is a river. And the streams of that river make you glad. The stimulus check is not supposed to be what makes you glad. It should be the river, the life flow of God is what makes you glad. We delight to do thy will, O God. Because when you delight in him, here's his promise, he will then give you the desires of your heart. He will assign and ascribe to your life the things that you can desire. He will give you the desires. It did not say he will grant you this. Stop. Let's stop making scripture say what we wanted to say, making it up as we go along. It says if you would delight in him, he would then be able to give. He starts the process. You don't bring the process to him and try to get him to bless this mess. He starts the process. Out of him, out of the one, is the flow. See? I would believe that we have it backwards if we're trying to get him to bless our mess. This is the best we can do, God. Be happy about that. No, that's not the way he made you. He made you perfect. Amen. My pastor said Sunday something that was very powerful to me. It says that you can go, the one place in your life that you can go that does not have sin in it is your future. Amen. You haven't gotten there yet. You couldn't have messed it up. Your future that God spoke is pure. Amen. It is pure and it is guaranteed. How about that? The future that you have not yet messed up is still pure, does not have sin in it. That made me go, wow. So then if I talk to him and hear from him, he will then give back to me that which will be perfect for me. Because every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of light, in whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. It's good and perfect. See? So my future is good. But I need to stop trying to reach my future based on my past or even based on my present. I need to base my future on his promise and his promise alone. In Christ alone, I put my trust. Find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope, is Christ alone. Okay? He's bringing us to the understanding that this river, this single river, there is a river, and the streams whereof, the streams from it. Why are we doing what the Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, why are we doing what God said would be wrong? It says, my people have committed two evils. The first one is they have left me, they have forsaken me. And the second one is they have hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Why are we drinking from the wrong source? My people have committed two evils. They left me, the fountain of living water, and they've hewn themselves out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. There is a stream. I mean, there is a river, and the streams make glad the city of God. He wants you to go back to the place of origin so we can get this thing to working in our lives. Because he says, this river and the streams that come from this river will make the city glad. Woo! Glory to God. This river will cause you to know that God is in the midst of the things that you're looking at. And God will not be moved. Come on, y'all. Because of the one, out of the one is the flow. It says that source will not be moved. And that source will give you help. And that help will be right early. Glory to God. I mean, this is what he's invited us into again. This has been his plan from the day one. When he put the man in the garden, there was a river. So he's trying to get us back to God being your source, God being your supply. Didn't Philippians tell us that my God shall supply all of your need? He's jealous that way. He wants to be the one that you can depend on. Because then he knows that your nourishment is accurate. When you try to drink from the cisterns that you've made, they're going to be leaky situations in your life. Okay, we'll say it this way. Okay, I had looked at it from there. A leaky situation can be just a little dab will do you. Because all you're getting is a drip. You're not getting the flow. Glory to God. See, God promised you streams. And here you are, because your cisterns don't hold any water, all you're getting is drips. And you call that life. And you say, I'm blessed of God. No, when you are blessed of God, according to his word, then he says what he's going to do is he's going to cause you to have streams. He's going to give you the ability to have a bursting forth. See, he's going to make sure that you have a increase, that you're dispersing. Okay? He's trying to get you to the place where there is abundant fruitfulness, that there is a rapid flow happening, not stagnation. Did you get that? Cisterns that hold no water, that would be stagnant water, wouldn't it? He's trying to connect you with a rapid flow, gushers, if you would. That's his heart. That's what he thinks for you. These are his thoughts that he thinks towards you. Thoughts to prosper you. Not to keep you in the same place, but to prosper you. That's an abundant fruitfulness, isn't it? See, he's trying to develop us as witnesses. So that when people come and they talk about the situations in their life, we can introduce them to the God that says, here, there is a river, and the streams make the people that live there, make the people that live there, the people that abide there, not the people that just come for water every once in a while. I'm not mad about someone that comes to get water once in a while. But God wants you to live, the man that is planted by the rivers of living water. This is the man that's blessed. Whatever he does prospers. His leaf also will not wither. See, we can introduce them to a flow of those streams. And it said that this river, it went about, and that which compasseth the whole land. See what I'm saying? It had three sources of income in it. Gold. I mean, just we got to get this. It had gold there, and it was good gold. The name of the first was Python. That which compasseth the whole land. And there was gold. And the gold of that land was good. And there was the bdellium and the onyx stone. That's three sources of income. And he started with one that we can get we can have a good picture of, because it said it was good gold. The bedlam is a oozing substance that they could sell. It was a gummy oozing, that which sticks too. It was a gummy oozing substance. And then the onyx stone, precious stone, three sources of income. The streams thereof make glad the city of God. Okay? This is what he's inviting us into. This is the living in the promise. And then Jesus made it even more interesting for us when he came, because the people had services, rituals, and things that they would do all the time, and they would go once a year to get back to a place where they can get a drink. And Jesus told them this in John chapter 7. And so if these things don't mean a lot to us, because we don't go through the teaching that would cause us to know why it was in there. But they would go and they would have this ritual about water so that they would know that God is going to supply water for them. And Jesus said this to them. It was on the great and notable day of the feast. These are the things that they did, see? That they would go there and they would have an understanding. They would teach the children the things that God was supposed to do, but they weren't allowing God to do. And then he said this to them as they was in the last day, the great and notable day of the feast. And Jesus stood and cried and said, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." See, he was trying to show them that there is a paradigm shift here again. These things that you've done, which were religious traditions that spoke of, I am that which they spoke of. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. As the scripture has said, out of his bellies will flow rivers of living water. That's that reference to the supply that God promised us about the Spirit to get them to, because they didn't understand, they have no concept of that. They were just thinking it was another ritual. How dare he say that? We've been doing this. Our Father's been doing this. See, you're going to have to leave things and go back to the original. See? He said, out of your bellies will flow rivers of living water. I'm connecting you to the source. Notice he didn't tell Adam that he had to keep going back to the river all the time, because God sent the rivers out of Eden so that wherever Adam went, the supply was going to meet him there. Boom. It encompassed the whole land. It encompasses your whole life. Out of your bellies will flow rivers of living water. He is our Eden. He is our Goshen. He is our promise. And he is our eternity. See? That's what we've got to get to, the place where we begin to think from this perspective. See, God is not a good luck charm or a comforter in time of trouble that's not bringing answers for the future. Okay, please. I can appreciate an answer in trouble. Amen. But he brings answers for my future. Remember? The place where there is no sin, where there is no shortcoming. He's speaking into that place because he's inviting me into that place. Come unto me. Take my yoke. Learn of me. Rest. See? These are the words of the invitation that would cause you to be able to enjoy the presence of the Lord. Did he not say in his presence there was fullness of joy? Because salvation gives us this invitation. Out, you shall draw out of the wells of salvation with joy. He didn't say that the wells of salvation are going to be accessed through toil. With joy, you shall draw out of the wells of salvation. With joy. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Okay? He's trying to get us to think about it from a different perspective. And we have continued under the toil mentality because that was the mentality that came with sin. Even though Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of the law, we still revisit the curse of the law because we've been taught and trained that that's always going to be. No, when Jesus said it is finished, he really meant that. That was over. I don't have to deal there no more. Did he not invite me into the newness of life? Amen. So if he's invited me to the newness of life, why then am I still living in the old letter of the law? Coming up with what I think I can't do because God's mad at me and he's not going to come through for me. Then why did he say that once you get to the place where this newness works in your heart, he says you will boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not have to have fear. Draw nigh unto me, and I'll draw nigh unto you. I mean, we are throwing away too many scripture because of a bad position of thought. Did he not tell us to live by the words, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God? Well, I've got to live out of the draw nigh, and I'll draw nigh. I've got to live out of that. Okay? 1 John chapter 4. Just give you the scripture so you can go and study them and get the revelation. I love God because God does not require me to have a revelation for you. I'm bringing the revelation that he's given me, and you can use it to guide your heart into the place where he will then give you your own revelation. Hast thou faith? Have it before God. Have it to yourself before God. Remember, the seven sons of Sceva taught us that you can't have the Stephen Lee's faith and expect it to work for you. Because them demons said, he said, well, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. I don't know who you are. You can't run on another man. If they say, I adjure you by this Jesus that Paul preaches. I'm going to work on another man's revelation. And they said, boy, that man left naked and wounded. He did not, does not sound like he left with victory to me. He left naked and wounded. See? So trying to live off my revelation, not good. But you can go to the same scriptures that I gave you as a reference, and you can get the revelation from God for yourself. Because I'm not going to be there when the devil comes to tempt you. But the revelation that Jesus gives you, he said that the gates of hell will not prevail against that revelation. Which tells me that the devil is going to come. If he said the gates of hell will not prevail, he just announced they would be there. Did I miss that? He said, I build my church upon this rock of revelation. And because I'm building, the gates will not prevail. He did not say the gates would not be tried. Amen. See, that's where we give up a lot of times. We give up because we see an attack. If I see an attack, I should see the victory. Jesus said this in John chapter 10, verse 10. He said, the thief only comes not but for two. He only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I am come that you might have life, and that you might have that life more abundantly. The thief only comes to steal, to destroy. That tells me I must have something. Otherwise, he wouldn't be there. He only comes to steal. He cannot come if you don't have nothing. He only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Just because you don't know how to use it does not mean you don't have it. Amen. See, the more confidence you have in the word of God that said he gives unto you everything that's necessary for life and for godliness. He's already past tense given it unto you. See, so then when you believe that, understand that, then you say, okay, whoa. I need to protect something because the gates of hell are not supposed to prevail against the revelation. Jesus is building his church. I am his church. Please understand, beloved, you are the church. He's coming back for a church without spot or blemish. He's not coming back for a building that has been whitewashed. Amen. Amen. He's coming back for you, the church, the called out one. So then since he sent his word to heal, let's use the word he sent and receive and walk in the healing. That's what he sent his word to do. He sent his word to heal us and to deliver us from all of our fears and from our destruction. So then since he sent it for that purpose, it would be wise for me to enter into that purpose, wouldn't it? First John chapter 4. We were here last time. Just want to kind of go back over this. I'll just start with verse. Okay, I'll start with verse. Beloved, verse 11. If God so loved us, we ought so also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, then God dwells in us. If we love one another, then God dwells in us. If we don't love one another, then the best God can do is visit. And while the visitation might be good, it doesn't last for always. Because as soon as you stop dwelling in love, he stops dwelling in you. But when you love one another, God dwells in us, and then something better happens. Love is perfected in us. Hallelujah. I began to know that I live there, and I began to like living there. I began to have my expectations from the love that is made perfect in us. And this is how we know that we dwell in him, because he has given us of his spirit. And that spirit is love. God is love. Not God has love, that God loves sometimes. God is love. Okay? And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. We have seen, and this is what we talk about, that the Father sent Jesus to save me from the world, to save me from myself, to save me from falling down when I should be walking in the Spirit. Whosoever confesses Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we know and have believed the love that God has towards us. God is love, and he that dwells in God, dwells in love, dwelleth in God, and God in him. And by this, herein, is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. So he's looking for this distinction for his presence to be made manifest. Because as he is, this is what makes him be. As he is, so are we. Not so will he be. So are we. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So let's just break this down to some of the things that's practical. Every name that is named has to submit to Jesus. Every knee will bow and every tongue confess. So then if I'm afraid of COVID, then that fear does not allow love to be made perfect. That fear does not allow love to cause victory in my life. The apostle that wrote this had a testimony that he walked in love. He was the apostle of love. And they tried to kill him like they killed all the other disciples. They tried to kill him so much, the report says, they boiled the man in oil and he would not die. That was a love that was perfected. So then after that, they exiled him to the Isle of Patmos and he wrote the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, Jesus had the same type love. They can't kill me. I lay down my life and I pick it up again. This commandment have I received of the Father. They couldn't kill him. A perfected love takes us to that position. Because love never fails. Love doesn't come up to COVID-19 and say, oops, that's it, far as I can go. Love never fails. Love that is perfected always wins. Because love is what makes my faith work. It's what causes my faith to be operable. Never fails. Endures all things. Will be there at the end of all trials, testing, tribulation. Love endures all things, outlasts all things. These are some of the positions of heart we've got to grow into. See, I don't have time for petty frustration about you said this and they said that and he don't. I got time for those petty frustrations. I'm developing a love that does not fail, that endures all things, that hopes all things. Because at the end of it, these things will remain, faith, love, and hope. They will still be there. And Jesus is asking the question that when he comes back, will he find faith in the earth? Are you going to be the one that says, you know what, I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to exist because of love. Because as he is, so am I in this world. I mean, these are real questions that we have to ask and answer by the scripture. See? Because these are the prerequisites for the faith that you say you want to work, the faith that you say you want to bring answers into your life. This is the prerequisite for that. Living in the promise means to live in love, to live there. To make sure that it is displayed. Because when God sent Jesus, he sent him under this dispensation. For God so loved. He did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. But through love, we might be saved. That was the conversation that was had in heaven. When God said, who shall I send? And love said, here am I, send me. Because when I go, I'm coming back with victory because love never fails. Love won't give up. Love won't quit. Love does not take an account of a wrong. Because even when he went unto his own received him not. But love continued to pour out that which was in him so that we can receive of his fullness. Because I promise you, the way I thought before, if it had been me, I'd have told all y'all, go to hell. I come to you and you reject me, that's it, go to hell. But love didn't do that. Love went to the end and at the end made this statement, Father, forgive them. They don't know that they're rejecting love. And then because of that, there was a time that the heavens said, now my son has done the work. Now the prince of this of darkness has been judged. He was not judged because of actions. He was judged because of love. What caused the devil to lose? A love that covered my sin. Because it says that if he knew that Jesus was who he was, then he would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But he didn't know that it was a love exchange. He thought it was another human that can be duped into doing this or that. That was contrary to love. But Jesus was the Word. So then since he was love, which is the Word, he did what the Word does. He loved us. He saw us in our own blood, and he said to us in our blood, dying in our own blood, he said, live. Why? Because I've already made a path. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the light. I made a way for you to get to the Father. For the Father loveth you himself. This is why I'm here, to display and open up your understanding to love. God wants us to live in the promise. But in order to live in the promise, we're going to have to live in love. And we're going to have to do that on purpose. We're not living in the accident, beloved. We are living in the promise. Amen. So that means you're going to have to, on purpose, love those that have been unworthy of love in your estimation. They are worthy of love in God's estimation. And you are his witness to the love flow. But the choice is yours. Which will you choose? Your way or God's way? A love that covers, accusation that separates. God's waiting on you today. Father, we just bless you and we thank you. We thank you for opportunities to let love flow. Thank you, Father, for the ability to see ourselves walk it out instance by instance, day by day, that we will not let the sun go down on wrath, but that we would cover that and let love flow. Thank you, Father, that we have the potential, we have the capacity to let the love of God, which was shed abroad in our hearts, be seen so that we can be your witness. So that we can then invite people to live in the promise, to live out the victory that love provides. Thank you, Father, that that is our heart's position, that you've given us that desire because we trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. We don't lean to our own understanding. In all of our ways, we acknowledge love. And love then directs our path. We give you praise, sir. We give you glory and honor. Committing it to you is done. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior, and the Redeemer of the Lord said together, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Well, we've lost some of the people there, so I'll just area code 312-330-4024. If you have any comments or questions about the ministry, you can feel free to ask those or give those now. 313-330-4024. You have the mic. Amen. Well, again, we still thank everybody for participating in the broadcast for tonight. And if the Lord lays on your heart to be a blessing and sow a seed here at livedeliverance.com, just go to the website and look for the donate tab, and you can give because that's the way that we stay on the air, is through your faithful giving of tithes and offerings unto the Lord. And this is good ground because we will continue to pray that it would come into a flow of a boomerang flow into your life, that everything that you have need of, that God will provide, because you are providing us the ability to be on the air each and every week. So until next week, when we see you again here on livedeliverance.com, stay in the flow of the blessing of the Lord. Shalom.